Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Will, are back, and we are recapping episode number 4 of Survivor 48. We got another good one. Back-to-back solid episodes of Survivor, and tonight's felt a little bit more pure. We had a tribe swap. We had a group that thought they were in power that wasn't actually in as much power as they were. And we saw why rolling dice and stuff is dumb, and you got to just put the game in the hands of the players, because Camilla and Kyle put on an absolute clinic tonight. An absolute clinic. Trust your cast. These two did such a phenomenal job of selling that they were not together at all. And it ultimately leads to one of the biggest blindsides we're going to see on this season. That was Thomas never saw it coming. And for all those who say keep your information close to the chest, there's actually an argument to be made tonight that Thomas not telling the California girls about the steal a vote is part of the reason why he ended up going home, because they didn't think they had the numbers to split to prevent an idle play. So we're here to break it all down. Will, we got a tribe swap. The tribe, I mean, you didn't do predictions power rankings. When we all saw this tribe for the first time, we thought there's no way they're going home, except for the 49% of people who are spoiled on our YouTube. What did you think when you saw that tribe?
I thought, okay, this tribe is now not going to tribal council at all until we merge. That's really what I thought. I'm like, wow, we got the California girls who I actually like because Shaheen's my winner pick. Mm-hmm. And then I had to take Thomas on my fantasy team because Thomas was your winner pick. I just want to remind you of that, Phil. Your winner pick went home tonight.
How's your fantasy team? How was your 1-1 pick?
My fantasy team is not doing as well, but look, I have Camilla, you have Kyle. So, I mean, we got some fun stuff there, but no, I did not think this tribe was, what do you mean about the YouTube? What were you going on about?
So there? This is what always cracks me up, right? You have all these very wise prognosticators. Is that the word? I think that's the word. You have these very wise prognosticators. So I put out a community poll on our channel, cause I like to do that before the episodes every now and then. And it makes me happy, and I like to see that. And so I put out this poll, and I had said, and I'm trying to find, it's so hard to get to it on YouTube nowadays. So I had put on there, which tribe is going to tribal council tonight on Survivor 48? 49% of the people who voted picked this tribe to go to tribal council tonight. Get out of here. You are reading something or you're looking at something. Half the people did not think that the strongest tribe by far was going to be going to tribal council. If you're reading spoilers and you're coming and leaving comments or you're voting in our stuff, go away. Go away. And also, if you're playing in our power rankings game, I don't care if you're a patron. If you're playing in our power rankings game and I think you're spoiled because it starts to lead towards that way, I'm throwing it out. I don't care.
Well, don't worry about all the spoilers now. They're gonna disguise themselves enough. I don't know. Is this season spoiled? Usually, I feel like Survivor's been pretty good about not being spoiled, especially with so many like newbies.
I have no idea. I don't read the spoilers, so I have no idea. But I feel like the last couple seasons, I know for sure 46 wasn't, and I don't think 47 was. But when I saw that, I was like, wait a second. That doesn't make any sense. So maybe it's not spoiled. Maybe a lot of people just really had a good idea. But yeah, anyway, here we are. We're here. I'm bummed Thomas went, man. Honestly, when I saw the tribes break out, and this is no shade to the other 10 people, this was the group of five I did not want to go to tribal. I simply just liked them the most. I feel like we really got to know Camilla and Kyle. The California girls were a really cool alliance. I know some people didn't like the way they were treating Star, but honestly, like, we don't know all the information. I'm not going to come to Star's defense just for the sake of coming to Star's defense. So I feel like that group of five is who we knew the best. And I was torn between who I wanted to go home. Part of me honestly kind of wanted Shaheen to go home, even though I was saying coming out of last week's episode that he was the favorite to win. Kind of wanted him to go because I just felt like Thomas was going to stir more shit up. But who knows? We got a long season ahead. And I mean, this cast, I understand we got to keep watching Vula, 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 Vula go to tribal. This cast is bringing it. They really are. They're bringing it. And this was a great tribal council. And I just can't say enough how impressed I am with the gameplay of Kyle and Camilla.
Yes, this was particularly fun. I don't remember a time in the 47 other seasons where we get a tribe swap and we have two people that are so close together just outwardly say to the other people in their tribe that we didn't really click. I mean, I think maybe we've seen it slightly attempted, but like Kyle and Camilla here are actually a real duo. And it seemed like this was not pre-thought out. Like this wasn't a discussion they had going into this, you know, swap. Hey, if we're on the same tribe together and we're in the minority, let's pretend we don't like each other. It seemed like Camilla tossed this out in a group setting once they get back from the challenge. You can't really split off right away. That's pretty shady. So they're in this group setting and Camilla's natural instinct is to say, well, I was on the bottom. And then Kyle has to kind of yes and like improv this thing. Like, yeah, but you weren't. But like, and kind of build up this fake kind of tiff between them. And that's what I think was so impressive about it. I think the concept of pretending to not be in alliance with somebody, I think we have seen that in certain ways. But it did feel as though this was not a plan coming into this and that they both know each other so well and felt so comfortable. And that like Camilla's tossing this out and Kyle's picking up. He's putting some other stuff out there. Then Camilla's picking some other stuff up. And it was really like, I said last week, Phil, I don't like the phrase something with the bit. Keep going with the bit.
Oh, committing to the bit.
Committing to the bit. I kind of cringe at that phrase, honestly. But this, honestly, was a better episode to have that title. I think this was like completely committing to the bit from Kyle and Camilla here very early on. And a tremendous job. I mean, can you recall, Phil, what does this remind you of in terms of like past Survivor seasons when we swap and we see two people pretend to not be on the same page? I mean, it can't be the first time it's ever happened, but to this extent, I cannot really remember any other season.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough too, because at this point, it's like what season, you know, the new era seasons are just blurring for me a lot of the time. And I feel like we haven't gotten that many swaps. And then pre-40, I haven't watched the seasons in the 30s now in 6 years, 7 years. So I'm kind of drawing a blank on some of them. But this, I mean, this was so masterfully done. And I mean, you're right. Like, I don't know if we've ever seen them to this level, right? It felt like when on Hero, the first thing that comes to mind is in Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, when they are given the opportunity. And Ben says, I'm going to go play the other side. And they tell Ben to do it. And it's all a ruse. That is kind of what this feels like to me. Because, I mean, Camilla sitting there when they are going through Kyle's bag is unbelievably impressive. Because she knows that if they pull Kyle's idol out, she's going home. And she knows she's done. And she doesn't stir them away from it. She doesn't say, go over there. She just lets it happen. Watching her Survivor life hang in the balance. That moment for Camilla is exactly what it was like for Shaheen, Thomas, and Joe when they realized all three of their votes went on Kyle and one of them could go. That's how it felt for Camilla in that moment, because she knows if they find Kyle's idol, now stuff's going to happen. And in that situation, Thomas does throw two votes. He plays his steal a vote. And I think that all happens. And then we do see either Kyle or Camilla go home. So great job by Kyle putting it in his shoe. If you're going on Survivor 49, or 50 or 51, look through people's shoes. Don't just look
or
through their
bag. Are we giving Kyle a good job for like leaving it in his bag? I think you want to not put it in your bag. I think that's the lesson here, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the bag is too easy to go through.
Yeah. I mean,
it's I probably right keep there. It on my person at most times. I don't know. I mean, I guess it would show in your pocket.
Yeah. And you're often in like board shorts and like yeah. not wearing a shirt. So you don't have. Exactly. It's not like you're bundled up. I think
I'd be walking
it.
Around
in a like hole and bury special, it somewhere.
Right? Yeah, I'd be Thunderwood special, no shirt, just boxers the entire time. So that would be I'd be screwed there. I want to throw this one up, Will, because I don't think this is true, and I want to see what you think. So this is a
super. Well, I mean, there's a lot to get into here, so I don't know. We could go anywhere with this.
Well, this like is
the vote
super chat.
Is probably the priority, but oh, a super chat is always
the Rider 2800. The best part of this for Kyle and Camilla is they kept the extra vote in case they go back to tribal. I don't think they did. I think they played it.
I don't think they did either. And that was a big, I was very curious as to exactly why they were playing the extra vote, but the extra vote had some value here. in that it protected you against a split, I believe, in a certain scenario. But yes, let's talk through this boat, and we can talk through the extra. I thought one of the biggest kind of epiphanies
I don't want to put that name up, but yes, that one says they didn't show Kyle or Camilla voting twice in the end credits, so maybe they did keep it.
Oh, I thought that was the plan. I mean, it was. I feel like it would have been more wise to keep it, especially once. I mean, Kyle had a great confessional. Like, they're going through my bag in front of Camilla. Like, the votes are probably going to come on to me. Like, you're feeling very confident at that point. That, you know, they aren't going through Kyle's bag in order to, you know, throw you guys off the set and actually put the votes onto Camilla. That would be, I don't know, that would be next level. That'd be some 4D chess there. For me, the big epiphany though is like, and we can talk about the vote and the strategy, which we will, but like, when you, these two advantages that we're talking about tonight, an extra vote and a steal a vote, an extra vote is almost more powerful, even though a steal a vote on paper is absolutely more powerful because you're deleting someone's vote and you're getting a vote yourself, or extra vote, you're just gaining a vote. But the fact that you have to play the steal a vote in public really nerfs it. And the fact that Camilla got the extra vote instead of a steal a vote here is so big. Like, and when you leave that journey, Camilla and Thomas, they go on the same journey. And it's like, which one would you rather walk away with? An extra vote or a steal? Wait, were they on the same journey? Either way, which one would you rather have? You'd rather think steal a vote. But the extra vote, you can just, no one, you don't have to announce you're playing it. And yeah, no. Camilla has a steal
Camilla
a vote
got
here,
hers last week with the dice roll.
Right, yes. Yeah. But if Camilla, let's say, got a steal a vote there, they can't even use it. Like, there's no utility of it. So I know maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but that was, to me, like, wow, the extra vote is actually better than a steal vote.
Here's a situation that's really wild to me. This tribe swap worked out so perfectly for the California girls that there was no way they would need to do anything. And I think that's what's crazy, right? You have to think about this when you're watching as an audience right at home. We know literally everything. We know that Camilla has an extra vote. We know that Kyle has an idol. We know Kyle and Camilla are tight. We know Thomas has a steal a vote. So with all of that information, what's the best move from the California girls? 2-2-2 split. Doesn't matter. You steal Camilla's vote. So she still gets one vote. Kyle gets a vote. Thomas puts two on Camilla. Joe and Shaheen put two on Kyle. We have a 2-2-2 split. Kyle plays his idol. Now it's a revote between Camilla and whichever one they pick, and Camilla goes home. We know that as an audience. But when you're in Thomas's shoes, when you're in Joe's shoes, and when you're in Shaheen's shoes, you don't know what they have. Just like Kyle and Camilla don't know what Thomas has. So Thomas, Shaheen, and Joe were actually kind of screwed in this situation by how well the swap worked out for them. Because it worked out so well that Thomas never even thought, I have a 3-2 advantage. Why would I need to worry about this? And because on the extra vote situation, the person from their tribe who went to that was Bianca, and she lost her vote. Thomas like knows that, but he doesn't know what happened with the others. He knows there's a possibility that Camilla could have an extra vote, but he also knows that she was literally rolling dice. So it's a 50-50 shot in the dark. Who knows what's going to happen? So that's where this was so interesting to me, is how did this vote go? Could the California girls have played any better? Thomas needed to share the information with the California girls. Think about the info Thomas had. Thomas knew he had to steal a vote, and he knew Bianca had no vote, and the alternative was an extra vote. So if he goes to the California girls and says, guys, I have a steal a vote. There is a chance that Camilla got an extra vote because Bianca told me this. Yes, he's spilling a lot of information, but this was a time where he needed to, and it would have kept him in the game. So it's really hard to figure out how he should have handled this, how everybody should have handled this, but they were so screwed by how good this swap actually worked out for them that Thomas just didn't even worry about it because he wasn't thinking there's going to be an idol. So what if there's an extra vote? It's 3-3. We're not worried about it. But they didn't know about the idol because nobody on their tribe had been able to figure out the cipher.
Yes, and to extend this, Phil, the only reason I think Thomas was even targeted is because they knew that he probably had an advantage and that they did not let... they know that if they successfully pull off this idle play with Kyle, which they feel pretty confident about, and let's say they target Shaheen, then you're bringing Thomas back in the fold, and they probably think Thomas has an extra vote, a steal a vote, a blah, like something, because why is Thomas lying about not being, you know, I decided not to play the game. Well, we double checked that, and there was no choice. And so even just Thomas going on this journey in at all and then being successful at the journey and then successfully lying about it to his tribe, that's actually what did him in and made him the target.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, we obviously know what plays out, but do you think that Thomas should have shared the info? Do you think he should at the swap? He should have told, I mean, this is his closest alliance. Should he have just told the alliance guys?
Well, it wasn't his closest alliance at the time, right? Bianca was his number one. But now that Bianca's not on the tribe, to come out later and be like, hey, guys, I got something. You know, with all the advantages these days and all the journeys, you know, maybe Camilla and Mitch had the right idea. It's just like,
spill it right away.
Say what you got. Say what happened. I mean, even with Justin last week, right? Like, at least if you let Cedric know that you don't have a vote and there is this possibility of a 1-1-1 or a 2-0 where 2 is negated by an idol, that like, hey, if we ever have to go to Rocks or Reba, like, I'm with you. Like, if Justin has that conversation with Cedric before they go to Tribal, that maybe Cedric chooses Justin over, say, I mean, likely if they're able to like talk about it beforehand and make a decision. So I know there's this idea of just keep your advantages to yourself, don't tell anybody, and that seems I feel like when advantages were just idols, but now that you have these kind of like weaker, lesser advantages where you can like block one person's vote, like that's not going to change a whole tribal unless you know where everything's going, and you need people for that. You need information, you need allies to be able to put a plan together with these little tinkering, one vote here, one blocked vote here. You want information and you get information through people. So I think, I mean, this season has been a perfect example of let people know what you have, because Camilla and Kyle, they knew what each other had and they were able to use it effectively. Thomas goes home with an advantage here. On my fantasy team, goes home with an advantage, losing me points. Dustin, again, didn't say anything last week. So Maybe you just tell everybody, Phil.
Because I think that's a great point. And you know, when we started this podcast in season 30, the whole thing was don't tell anybody anything. Keep your information close to you. But now there are the problem, and it's not necessarily a problem, but the thing that has changed about Survivor is there are advantages that can offset other advantages. Back during season 30, there'd be an extra vote. That meant that season didn't have a steal a vote, didn't have like a lost vote.
Well, season 30 is the first time we ever saw an extra vote, and it was one.
It was
extra vote one time. You know, and that really was like, that's it. Right.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying is back then it was keep your information close to the chest, because if you have information, you have power and there's not as much going on. Nowadays, two other people are doing the same thing you're doing. Right? They're going on the same journey. They're walking up to something that's probably the same. At least that's how Survivor's doing it right now is, you know, you're turning the wheel or you're doing something. Like, everybody kind of has the same game or option or objective, whatever it is.
The wheel in a bit.
We haven't, but you know what I'm saying? Like, when you go on these journeys, if there's multiple people, one from each tribe, those people are all doing the same thing. So lying about it really is hard, because at some point, somebody else is going to tell everybody else what's going on. Like, somebody on the other tribe, they could just spill it on the mat during mat chat. They could just say, Jeff, I can't believe you made me lose my vote because of yada, 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 yada. So I think that at this point in Survivor, Justin and Thomas had to be the sacrifices the island needed here. And they are the ones that we are sitting here saying, you know what? You get something, tell everyone. Because then they know where it's at. Make them figure out strategically how to beat you and trust that your alliance will have your back as long as you're doing what you need to do. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I think we have a good comment here from St. Cliffo. Marianne won by keeping the idol in her back pocket through to final tribal council, then dropping that bomb. And I think maybe that's where we're kind of circling around this, where an idol is such a big advantage in the game. It literally is deleting people's votes if you play it correctly. It's saving you. It's, you know, elongating your game if the votes are on you, if you're the one going home. But when you get like one little extra vote, is that real? Like with everything in the game, is that going to be like, oh my gosh, Phil, I got to watch out for Phil now. Phil is going to upend my entire game because this one guy has one extra vote.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case, but if an idol, it's like, okay, if he has an idol, I kind of want to get that out of the game.
Well, and Thomas and so, like, is literally in with everybody on his tribe. So for him, the lie really made no sense because literally everybody on his tribe liked him, and Star even came to him and was talking to him saying, I want to talk game. So Thomas,
yeah, and really Bianca told everyone. Thomas about how she lost it.
Yeah.
You know, she lost her vote and she was honest about that. You know, I don't want to say it makes no sense. Like, Thomas, what were you thinking? I think the issue here with Thomas is he made this decision. He says, look, I didn't play the game. I didn't want to risk it. He lies to everyone that he trusts.
Yeah.
And at that point on his tribe, he feels good. He's not going home. But it's actually kind of funny, the editing of this, or maybe it was just serendipitous with Jeff asking Thomas the question before the tribe swap on the mat. You got to be ready for anything. The tribe swap changes the calculus of whether you tell people. And now Thomas even has a confessional telling us, if I all of a sudden tell Joe and Cheyenne that I have an advantage, they will then know that I lied to them. And that could upend my game. So then you're kind of in this lose-lose where I'm kind of losing out trust with two of the closest people I have in this game, or your torch is snuffed because you didn't tell your allies what tools you had that you could have used. Yeah. It's a very tricky, because like Phil, there's a good chance here you do this tribe swap 10 times, 8 out of 10 times, 7 out of 10 times. He doesn't need to tell anybody about this and he can keep it to the merge and that his tribe doesn't go to tribal council. So it's like, you kind of need to be preparing for all scenarios. Why not be honest with is anyone going to be, oh, I don't like Thomas. He's being too forthright to me. He's being too good of an ally right now. And again, I don't think these extra votes, block of votes, steal of votes are enough to say, oh my gosh, Thomas has too much power in the game. I'm aligned with him. I'm glad he told me, but now I see him as a big threat. I don't think that's what comes out of these like kind of tic-tac advantages.
And here's the one thing I want to say about this too. I truly do believe that had Purple found the idol, they would have assumed that somebody from Orange had the idol and they would have been more wary. And that may have led Thomas to saying, shit, they caught me with my hand in the cookie jar. I might as well just eat the cookies and tell them what's going on and hope that, you know, they don't get mad at me. Right. Like, I feel like because the Purple tribe had such a hard time finding the idol, their assumption is the other tribes probably had just as hard of a time finding an idol. Therefore, why would Kyle or Camilla have the idol? It doesn't make any sense. We're going to be fine. If Purple had found their idol, I think Thomas, Cheyenne, and Joe go into that tribal council much more considering the possibility that an idol is up for grabs and that Kyle or Camilla could have it. And I know that Cheyenne went through the bag, but maybe they would have said, well, look, what if Camilla has it? What if the acting really is that good? I think there would have been more concern, and I think Thomas would have probably come clean. And at that point, Joe and Cheyenne don't have a choice but to say, you know what, Thomas, you're right. Let's do a 2-2-2. Let's grab that steal a vote and you do it. Because what is their alternative? To say, well, we don't trust you, Thomas. We're booting you now. No, because now you're in a 2-2 situation. You don't want that. You worry about getting rid of Thomas later and say, well, you shouldn't have lied to me when you did. Now I'm going to vote you out of the game. But I think the way that this worked out here, because they couldn't find their idol, they weren't even they're saying, no way. These dummies over on SIVA, they're not going to figure anything out. Well, Cheyenne and Joe just got a hard lesson in how good Kyle and Camilla really are and how smart they are. And it was, you know, unfortunately at the expense of Thomas, but I don't think they're ever going to take those two for granted again. That's going to be a very interesting tribe next week.
Yeah, I think that's what it does come down to, is that Kyle and Camilla were probably just so good here. And that if you're Thomas, like you just said, Phil, you could tell Joe and Cheyenne about your steal vote, and then you are guaranteeing, I mean, you're not guaranteeing safety because they could have an extra vote also, and it could have been a 2-2. No, because you're stealing one of them.
It's 2-2-2. Exactly.
At the worst case, it's 2-2-2. And if they have an extra one, it's 2-2. Yeah. So then you are now guaranteeing that you are splitting the votes on both of them, even if there is an idol, and you're just like, look, us three are here next week, or at least through this tribal council, we'll make another cycle. We have a strong enough tribe. Maybe we get to merge with four. That could absolutely be a way of thinking. But again, that's us knowing where all the pieces are.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you're out there and Kyle and Camilla are doing what they're doing at the level they're doing it at, which again, this is not something you see on Survivor. I was thinking when trying to recall seasons of tribe swaps and where minorities have, you know, flipped it. Millennials versus Gen X, season 33 is the one I always go to. We went to, started with two tribes, went to three tribes, I believe of five, similar to here. And they were all 2-3 majorities in some way. And all three tribes, went to tribal council. And every time it was someone in the three going home. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't through this diversion of that, like the two people aren't, you know, on the same page. It was more there was like fractures within the three. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different. But this does happen. I don't remember two people selling so well, and they weren't overdoing it either. There was so much nuance to it where even Shaheen was picking up like Kyle going, no, it wasn't. It's a little bit true, but not all. It's not like Kyle was like, oh yeah, you're on the outs, or like she was on the outs. They were very subtle in all these one-on-one conversations that like, it's really hard to fault Thomas here and be like, hey man, you should have.
Yeah.
No, I mean, your skill. No, like I can't really sit here and say, I mean, it is a misplay. I mean, on paper,
yeah,
it's what you should have done knowing all the information, but like, this is sometimes how it breaks. You just run into good players.
Yeah. And exactly. And Thomas, I think anybody who gets an extra vote with a group of three going up against a group of two or a steal a vote would play the steal a vote moving forward in future seasons of Survivor because of how Thomas just went out. Because I can't fault Thomas for how this went. You're sitting there going, I'll be fine. And Thomas also has a pretty solid personality. So you would think that these people would want to work with him. No. Just crazy how it worked out. I want to throw up some more super chats. Jayburn Aquatic, thank you guys for this space platform. None of my friends or family watch Survivor, so it's nice to have others to watch with, even if it's just online.
That's how we're here. Having you.
Always good. Worth playing for. New fan vote discussion at the end. Yes, we will get to the new fan vote discussion at the end. Well, did you see this? Because I know you watched it differently, but did you see the fan vote stuff?
I didn't see them announced, but I've now seen them, and we do have to go through them.
Yeah, so. We will. We'll go through them at the end. Let's get through the episode first. That can be right. What keeps everybody around. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. There you go. Got that out of the way. David's going to win, by the way. I don't know if you know this.
Oh, I was going to text you in the middle of the episode, and I'm like, you know what? We should probably save it for the podcast we do so we don't burn our conversation. David is the winner of Survivor 48.
It's over. Like, it's literally over. Like, there's like, if you were asking me right now, he has the same odds of Duke beating Mount St. Mary's, like, in the first round of the playoffs, like, or in the first round of the tournament. Like, it's over. We have gotten so much personal content when we don't need to. And tonight's episode, we're getting a rehash of the story of his girlfriend. Are you kidding me? David's winning this.
Wait, season. But I thought, is it a different girlfriend or is it the same girlfriend? Because he mentioned that this girlfriend broke up with him.
And then they got back together. So he's trying to figure it out. Yeah, he's trying to figure it out because it's a money reason. And he's trying to be an adult. Right. He's trying to grow up.
Yeah. No, I mean, either wins or I don't know. I don't know.
Like, or he's the Jesse, you know, Sesternino.
But I don't even think it's because he's not even like a strategist. We were told by
Charity. I just mean he's that person that you love, that you want.
He's just like the hero right now. He is the guy, which I'm shocked by because all the preseason content told me he was going to be like way too cocky, way too overconfident, not self-aware. And he's just fitting in. So the three sisters thing, was that in his preseason content? Because there is something to that. Guys that grow up with a bunch of sisters, there's just something to them where they are able to just instantly ingratiate themselves with a group of women. And it's not even something, it's just this, I don't know. Is it aura?
Well, is it kind of
it's just vibes. Like you just have a presence. And I have a little bit of it, Phil. I have one sister.
I do too. Yeah.
You have one, so we got a little bit of this, but there when the people with two sisters or three and no other brothers too, where you're just the brother, and then you have like three or four sisters. There's some energy there that really works for people.
So let's talk about that tribe though, because like I am so in on David winning at this point. Him and Eva, boom, together. Everything couldn't be better, right? David and Eva, Eva knew he was a stuntman. Like, knew he was a stuntman, knew it. We were talking about that. Thought that was funny. But she's immediately going over and bonding with David. So now you have Eva and David teaming up and wanting to work together moving forward. He's on a tribe with all women. Who else is on this tribe? So it's David, it's Eva, it is Star, it is, who is it? Why am I drawing a blank? Who are the other people on this tribe? Help me.
Let me tell you. It is
Mary and Charity. That's right. And yes, so exactly. After all of this, sorry, I was like Cedric and Say aren't there because Cedric has the great moment with Mitch, which we'll talk about. Mary and Charity. When I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this whole thing and Charity's like, man, gonna vote out David, this guy, he doesn't know, blah, blah, blah. And they're all like, yeah, Charity doesn't even realize she's going to be the one who's going to go home. And David's telling people Charity's going to be the one who's going to go home. Charity's not winning that battle. Like, David is going to win that battle. And I truly believe the way that David is being set up, we now know that David has three sisters. We know he lives in a trailer in front of his dad's house. We know the situation with his girlfriend and his inspiration for playing the game is the money. I would say, other than him, the only person we have that much information about is Eva, but that is mainly because of her having autism and how she's trying to play the game and all that. And even her, all we really know is that she has autism and she doesn't like change. She likes hanging out with the boys. That's what we know about her. We don't know this level of information personally about anybody else. You could say Kyle and Camilla were both Guyanese, but we're not getting into why being Guyanese changed their lives. What's the backstory? What happened with their families? All of that. There is no way. This David has this on lockdown. I'm shocked. We're episode 4. I feel like it's over. I really do.
I want to root for David, but I also don't want to, like, I don't want it to be over. Is it already over, Phil? Episode 4?
I feel like it is.
I don't think Joe's winning. Joe's another person you can toss in that, like, we know about him personally a little bit, at least.
But we don't know. The fact that we haven't heard Joe's reason for playing on the actual show, I think, is pretty insane. Like, we know it from the
yeah, but then maybe they're that means he's gonna stick around a bit and then he'll drop it on us.
Yeah,
maybe
that's true. Shaheen took a big hit tonight. That worries
big
me.
Hit, but big I'm hit. But the Shaheen hit could be that he was. I mean, a part of me thought he was going to be the one who targeted this vote.
Yeah.
And like, this was almost a red herring episode for Shaheen where they needed to kind of, you know, undercut him a bit in his confessional with what he's saying and make him look like not a very savvy player. Even though Kyle does call out that Shaheen's probably sneakily the sharpest guy out here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he was the one giving us the confessionals about how Kyle and Camilla, there's no way they're actually working together and that they clearly were not tight on the original Siva tribe when we absolutely know that to be the case. And so that's usually a very bad sign, but also there's a big reason why that was included. So I'm not like ruling Shaheen out, especially in the new era where it's always been a little bit funky because he was a total red herring tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very concerned for him when this was going on because I was like, all right, Shaheen, like, why are you getting all of this content saying, oh, they can't be that smart, this, that, whatever. I thought he was gone. I thought Thomas was going to survive, and I thought that Shaheen was gone. And I really felt for Shaheen because I know he was the alternate for the last season. So that's brutal. You go out and you get fourth person.
I mean, I felt for Thomas and Shaheen here. Or if it was Joe, like, I would – like, this was just – and what the weird part was, like, I have been kind of on this logging train since the preseason. Like, my winner pick is Shaheen. My first round, you know, 1-1 pick in the fantasy draft was Thomas. I've loved what we're seeing from Joe so far. So, like, this California Girls Alliance, I'm like, I'm rooting for them. But when it's 3-2, like, you're kind of hoping Kyle and Camilla are able to outsmart. You want to see the underdogs outsmart the majority. It was just a bummer. It was at the cost of one of these three guys.
Yeah, I agree. And like, do you think Shaheen rebounds now? Do you think that he's going to learn from the mistake that was made? I mean, he was devastated by this taking place.
A lot of times if the edit is throwing negativity someone's way, and what I mean negativity doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, that guy is like being a negative person or an idiot or like mean. It just means, hey, we're getting game reads. We're getting confessionals where they are incorrect. When you get that, it's often a way to rule out somebody as a winner. But because we needed a red herring tonight, and that he was the red herring. I think most people go into this thinking, Cheyenne thinks he's so slick, he's the one going home. That's what the show kind of wanted you to believe. And they just do a gut punch with Thomas that I can't take a red herring within one episode to now, you know, say he's not able to win this game. And maybe he does have a revenge arc where, like, I wasn't sharp enough. I wasn't playing hard enough. I was too gullible. One of my allies and Thomas did go home, and that's partially my fault, and I should have seen it coming. And here we go. We get the revenge tour. Now, do I think that's going to happen? Not completely. I think it's possible, but I mean, we already know David's won the game and has $1 million check.
Yeah, exactly. So I would like to see Cheyenne and Joe now rebound, but I hope that tribe just doesn't go back to tribal. Like, I really do. I hope that tribe sticks.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I hope they don't go.
And they shouldn't. Like, the other tribes should be weaker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I mean, if they would have put Camilla on the puzzle, they win. But I think because they saw the big blocks, they said,
let's
not put her there.
They say that, but, like, who knows?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I feel like Camilla was trying to call out the puzzle, but she was being blocked by just hunks.
She was being blocked by the big blocks.
Exactly. And the big biceps, you know? Let's talk, though, about David, Charity, Eva, Mary, Star. We don't hear from Star tonight, but we hear plenty about Eva saying, I want to vote Star out of the game. What do you think about how this shook out? Do you think it really is going to be that simple that they go to tribal council and Star is the person who's going home? Do you think this is a whole lot of nothing? What do you think, other than the story of David, right? Other than the story of David winning things.
Tell me about the story of David. What book is that in the Bible?
I know, right? I mean, we're watching it play out. I'm 48 here. But other than that, Charity, Eva, Mary, Star, what is the story that is taking place on that beach?
Well, as much as Eva wants to throw Star's name out there as, like, I did not click with her. We wanted her gone. She found the cipher clue, but she didn't, like, great. Eva, you're spilling. Great. I think people believe Eva, and I think David and Eva do have a bond, and that will work. Like, two votes on a five-person tribe is massive. So Star, definitely somebody that you can target, but also Charity here is putting out David's name. And David's the winner of the season. So you don't want to be doing that. You don't want to be putting out, you know, the guy that everybody loves, especially we are still pre-merge. You still need to win some challenges. So it seems like David's fitting in socially. Plus they need him for challenges. I don't know why you want to target that guy. And if you're coming after him, it probably gets back to him. Everyone seems to like him. So I feel like Charity, I would put at the bottom of that tribe and then maybe Star after, but who says they can't come after Eva? I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Even David seemed like they're getting along. Who do we got? Who's the fifth member? Is that
Mary?
Chrissy?
Mary feels like
a swing. I think Mary's in a great spot. And I thought Mary's episode last week was so good. And not in terms of, hey, I get it. She played the shot in the dark and she was safe and yay, good that she's still in the game. But I think just from an edit, just from getting to know her and her vibe and her gameplay, like, I think Mary is sticking around a bit, and I think she is a good spot on this tribe where no one's targeting her, and it doesn't even look like the tribes are going to break into 2-2 pulling for her in the middle, which I guess would be good for Mary, but it seems like there are now two other targets that are out there on your tribe, and so you kind of just need to chill, go with the flow, and it seems like Mary's very capable of doing that.
Yeah, here's what my biggest worry was when Eva came out and said, I'm giving you everything about Star, Star, Star. Everybody on that tribe can now use that against Eva if they want to. Like, they can just turn around and use that against her. And that's what had me the most concerned. But then when we don't hear from Star tonight at a swap, when she's back on the same beach where she's still looking for her idol, and we don't hear her say, oh, thank God I swapped to this tribe. Like, this is so huge.
It is weird. We never heard about Star ended up back at Loggy and that being. Maybe the show didn't want to kind of like put any light on that, on like, hey, if she hadn't swapped here, she would have been totally screwed. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just surprised that we didn't hear at all from Star.
I think and that would confuse part of the audience and not us or our listeners or everyone who goes online or Reddit or Twitter or Blue Sky, like whatever. I think there's enough people at home who'd be like, wait, she swapped back to her own tribe, but this is, it's a new tribe because there's new people on it. Wait, she couldn't have found the what?
Yeah.
Especially if she never finds it, or even if she does, I think it's some of those things you just don't bring up because you don't want to add confusion. So I'm not shocked that, I guess, that they didn't bring that up specifically.
Yeah. All right, let's jump over to Bianca, Cedric, Chrissy, Mitch, and Say. So this is a new tribe here. Bianca goes up to Say and says, "I want to work with you and Cedric." And Say's response is, "Well, you should get a feel for him first and see if that's really what you want to do." We get a great moment from Cedric and Mitch where they're talking about how Cedric used to have a stutter and he has certain triggers that will cause it again, and he's always worried about that and thinks about that. And him and Mitch really bond over that. I could see them working together. We have Chrissy, whose break finally comes in and starts talking again.
We heard from Chrissy.
Taking place.
Yeah.
What's your take on this tribe?
I honestly feel like Say should have said, like, even if you have your reservations about Cedric, tell Bianca, great. Like, we're in. Three. Don't be like, I don't know if we want Cedric, because then who are you picking from?
Yeah.
Now you need to go outside to another tribe, Say. And do you have any relationships outside the other tribe? Did Cedric just vote to keep you in the game over Justin? And I know we got the confessional from her that, like, I mean, it's like the guy who starts the fire and then he puts it out and then gets a medal for putting out the fire. I get that. But you still have a relationship with Cedric more than you have a relationship with anyone else on that tribe. So if Bianca comes up to you, just be like, yeah, sure. Three. And I do fear for Say now on this tribe, because I think Mitch, Chrissy, and Cedric are an absolute trio from what we saw this episode. Cedric and Mitch are obviously bonding, and then Chrissy falling in with Mitch. Could they target Bianca? Sure. But this tribe didn't go to tribal council. More days out there with Say, they paint a target on our back just being Say.
Yeah,
and I agree. I think even if right now, even if they lost this challenge, if Bianca was the target for that trio and Cedric said, hey, I want to keep Say around, sure. Give it a day. Give it 2 days. I think Bianca ingratiates herself. I think Say puts a target on her back, and that Say would probably be the most likely one here to get voted.
What's your concern with Bianca not having a vote, though? Does that concern you for how the dynamic here shakes out, or do you think it would be a simple 3-1 vote, Say goes home?
It doesn't really concern me when there is a trio on this tribe and she's not a part of it. So it's like that trio is either going to vote for her and then her vote wouldn't matter, or they're going to vote for Say and her vote wouldn't matter. So like, I don't find it to be too much of an influence.
Yeah.
You know, unless that trio breaks up, which, hey, it's Survivor. That could easily happen.
Well,
here's
what's complicated for me about this tribe. Say wants Cedric out rightfully. I need to say this so that like the Say haters don't think that I'm hating. Say rightfully wants Cedric out of the game. Cedric saved her, but like she said, he saved me from a position he put me in. So I agree with her. Yeah, you should want Cedric out. And that's why we thought that Cedric's moves last week ultimately wasn't a good one. However, if Say is here, she wants Cedric out, but Cedric doesn't seem to want Say out. And after that moment, I think Cedric probably feels loyal to Say. But now he's starting to bond with Mitch. And now you have Chrissy who's involved there too. Would Cedric vote against Say? That's the only way that it can be a 3-1. I think it's more likely that we end up seeing a 2-2 split because Bianca can't vote. And then could we end up seeing Cedric turn around and after saving Say at the last tribal, voting her out? Maybe, but there is a big wrench in this plan now, because I don't think Cedric would vote for Say, because Say wants Cedric out, but Cedric doesn't want Say out. So if Say votes for Cedric and Cedric votes for, let's say, Chrissy, well, I guess actually what would happen is Say would vote for Cedric, Cedric would vote for Chrissy, and then Chrissy and Mitch would vote for Say, and Say goes home?
Yeah, that's why I think the 2-2 here is not all that likely.
Yeah.
Even
no, it'd be more of a 2-1-1 probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just have to address something in the chat. I don't think those were spoilers. I think that was just a clown wearing a giant red nose. I don't think they were actually spoilers. I think he's just being annoying. I banned him anyway. He's annoying. We don't need him here. So adios. Don't want you here.
I didn't even see what you were talking about.
I'm over here trying to look at the chat, and it's like, I don't think those were spoilers. If they were, I apologize to everybody. I don't think they were. It seemed like the person had no idea what they were talking about. They were just coming here to troll. There's numerous other podcasts on right now. Carlo, you can go hang out over there. Go hang out with any of them. Enjoy yourself. We don't need you here. We don't want you here. All right, moving on. Will.
Yeah.
I forget where we were. I had to address that because people in the chat are like, I don't want these spoilers. This spoil, blah, blah. I don't think it was spoilers. I think the person was just trolling and needed something to do on a Wednesday night. Go watch the Texas Xavier game. Go do what Blake's doing. Although, wait, Blake didn't even watch the episode yet, and he got voted out of the game. Poor guy, man. Poor guy.
We say, don't Blake know. Is having a rough one here. How is Xavier Texas going? I don't. Are you a first four guy? I'm not a first four.
No, I'm not a first four guy.
Texas is winning though.
Are they? Yeah. I watched Alabama State last night because I was working, doing trivia at a bar, so I was looking up. But look at this. I'm getting a bunch of W fills, Will. That feels good. Look at this. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow.
Look at this. 5, because it's two time.
So oh, well, that's a good point. But it's Lamar Jackson, so that's okay. Anyway, St. Cliffo throws another one in. Where were we? Where were we? I'm losing. Where were we?
Now we're just W. How, all these W fills.
I know. Here. I know.
I might have to leave. I think you got this year on out.
I think I have it all covered.
All these W's.
Okay. Where was I? Bianca, Cedric, Chrissy, Mitch, Say. That's what we were talking about. Yeah. I just don't think that Cedric will vote out Say. And I think Say will make a push to vote out Cedric. And I think Mitch and Chrissy will be like, I'd rather vote for Say. And they'll talk to Cedric about voting for Say. And Cedric will talk to Say about who should we vote for. And then Cedric will end up throwing a vote at Bianca. Right. That's who Cedric will probably vote for, is actually Bianca, because he has nothing with her. And then Bianca gets a vote, Say votes for Cedric, and Mitch and Chrissy end up saving Cedric. I mean, look, I don't know what the hell's going to happen, because I didn't think that this other tribe that went tonight was ever going to go, but here we are.
Yeah, no, I think more likely than not, Say and Cedric, one of them goes if that tribe goes, which shouldn't be the case. They should be the tightest duo. They've been to the most tribal councils. They've had the most gameplay experience. They have two of themselves on the same tribe, where Mitch and Chrissy barely even knew each other. And Bianca is on an island. She's got no one from her original tribe. So you would think Say and Cedric would be in a good spot. However, they're not. We're seeing those cracks forming here early. And I would be surprised if either of them, or if both of them somehow worked together and survived tribal council, if that tribe ends up losing.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear the craziest stat about Say right now? We are 4 episodes in, Will. She just became the first person on the season to hit 40 confessionals. 4 episodes in. That is insane.
So she's averaging 10. I know math. Yeah. I know some quick math right there.
That was good. Banu
I had to use a calc, but I still got there.
Banu didn't even get. Also, can we just talk Thomas with a 4.555? They're teasing us. They were teasing us.
Well, Thomas was great. Also, so like just.
They teased us.
Just if he's on the show and he's entertaining, who cares if he goes home in episode 4? He was good the whole time.
I care that he went home in episode 4.
I was your winner pick, Phil.
No, man. Devastating. That really is devastating. It really is.
My 1-1 pick on my fantasy team. Only because he was your winner pick.
I'm so happy I convinced you of that. And I got Shaheen instead. I duped you. I knew what was going to happen. I was over there with that other guy reading spoilers. I knew that Thomas wasn't going
to
go.
Yeah, like when you drafted Say to your fantasy team out of nowhere.
Dude, that Say pick is looking cool. Yeah, because I not only did I have spoilers for the season, Will, I had spoilers for the edit. I knew that she was going to get 40 confessionals in the first 4
episodes. That's why you have David on your team, because you know David's going to win.
I don't have David. Blake took David the same round I took Say, so maybe he was reading. What else happened? So, I don't really know what else we need to talk about from this episode. I feel like it was a lot. I feel like we really broke down all the new tribes. I think we talked about.
Is there more to get into with the vote? Like, was this, obviously they played the idol correctly. Should they have used their extra vote or shouldn't have they? And actually, did they? It doesn't seem like they did.
They didn't use it. No. So officially, I went and looked at the wiki. They did not use the extra vote.
They did not use the extra vote. And what are the risks of that? Is there, because I kept thinking, if you're going to play the idol anyway, what does the extra vote actually do for you? Because if it's going to be 3-2 and then 3 votes are negated by an idol, then it's 2-0 and you don't need the extra vote. So why would making it 3-3 do anything for you? However, if it's 2-1.
Oh, this is a good point from Noah Salmon. if they played the extra vote, then it goes 3-3 and they beat Rocks every time because the Rocks person is safe on the revote. But no, that's not true, because one of them would get the three votes and therefore wouldn't be eligible to vote on the next vote.
Well, also they have the idol and they pretty much know where the votes are going.
Yeah. Because it would have been 3-3 between Thomas and, let's say it was 3-3 between Thomas and Kyle. And let's say Kyle didn't play the idol. Kyle can't vote on the next one. So Camilla gets one vote. I don't think, do we have the ruling? Yeah, you can't use your, I don't think you can use your extra vote.
You can't use your extra vote on a revote, but I think extra votes do, they work again on a revote if you used it in the original vote.
Oh, okay. So then it would be a 2-2. So that would have been the thing, because then you're safe from
Rock. You do get to use your extra, but that wasn't really the concern of why to play it, because they felt so confident the votes were going Kyle's way. I think the only instance, and I haven't really thought this out, so maybe this is a road to nowhere, Phil, but I want to think it out because we didn't really do it earlier, is if for whatever reason that group of three says, hey, we should probably split, we should do a 2-1. And they do 2-1, one vote on Kyle, two votes on Camilla, and then you only play two votes, then it's a 2-2-1. Because Kyle's vote, or it's a 2-2 because Kyle's vote is negated by the idol. Mm-hmm. And then on a revote, then they can vote 3-2 and you lose. And then an extra vote there does actually benefit you if they're splitting the votes. But either way, they knew where the majority of the votes were going, and that's why they didn't play it.
So my thing is,
you get what I'm saying or no?
I get what you're saying, but I just want to get to what Noah, I think what Noah is saying here really does make sense now that he's explained it a little bit more. On a 3-3, if the person who plays the idol gets the votes, that person is safe anyway, and we see Thomas go home like it happened.
Right.
In another iteration, though, of the 3-3, let's say they had thrown the three votes on Camilla.
Sure.
If Camilla has the extra vote, she doesn't get to use two votes. So the extra vote needs to be used by the person not getting the vote. So you would play the extra vote. The person who plays the idol would also play the extra vote.
Right.
Because they can't be part of the tie.
Set up a little bit.
So then he can't be part of the tie. So in this scenario, if Kyle does it, Kyle plays two votes, Camilla plays one. If Camilla's part of the tie, Camilla doesn't vote, Thomas doesn't vote, but Kyle gets two votes and Joe and Shaheen both vote. And then when it's a tie again, Camilla is safe because she got the votes. Kyle is safe because he played the idol, and it's either Shaheen or Joe who go home on a rock draw.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what playing an extra vote would have gotten you. Mm-hmm. Or in the case, if it's a 2-1, you still get some value. But they didn't play it because they felt so confident that the votes were going on to Kyle, which was the right move.
I mean, if they're looking through a bag in front of you, you know it's going one way. Like, you know that's happening. I think Shaheen and Thomas primarily, they got cocky.
Honestly, if you go in front of the bag, you just throw the votes on Camilla. Just really.
Yeah.
You gotta be thinking so many steps ahead here. Yeah, I think they got confident.
Yeah.
Again, what a job by Camilla and Kyle.
It was super impressive. Yeah, I mean, co-players of the week, in my opinion. Everybody has a player of the week thing, Will. We used to do MVP. We got to, like, come up with a new thing so that we can make people like us again. Because last week, everybody gave Mary player of the week last week, and it was Say. Say was player of the week. She's the one who convinced everybody to keep her, to let her stay. All Mary did was pull the right rock. That's all she did.
I had David as my player of the week last week.
Oh, he's the player of the week every week.
Every week. Yeah.
I know.
We used to do MVP. We used to do MVP and LVP.
We need a better title. We need a better name than MVP that we can throw around, because we got to start being good again.
What do you mean? Most valuable player of the episode? What's wrong with MVP?
I know, but it's like you got Fishbach giving the fishy. You know, it's like that kind of thing. You got.
Oh, it's just like, you want to call it the Philly? That sounds dumb.
W Phil.
W Will
from Royal 17. Anyway, who would be your MVP this week?
D. David, obviously, he's winning.
See, my MVP this week, it would be co-MVP between Kyle and Camilla. How is it? I like this from Anna Lynn Star.
I give it to Camilla because...
Award name the specialist. It was the most specialist person. I like that. I do that like
is, that. That is funny.
That is funny.
Specialist. Like,
yeah, exactly. And when you type it out, it's easy to see. So who is the specialist of the season? Of
I don't mind the Philly and the Willie, though.
The Philly and the Willie.
Something.
I feel like a Willie should be a bad one, though. And I don't mean that because it's your name. It just sounds like if you call somebody a Willie, that's not a good, like, you're such a Willie. That's not a good thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Niccolo likes the not for nothing player of the week.
Not for nothing player of the week. I like the Philly and the Willie as the Philly being the good one and the Willie being the bad one.
Because like a wet Willie is bad. Like you're a little Willie.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I think Camilla would get the Philly or the specialist this week just because it seems like she, and again, who knows? It's a TV show. I wasn't there. It's edited. It seems like she initiated this ruse that they pulled over where she was talking publicly with the group. And an amazing job by Kyle to pick up on it and not be like, wait, no, Camilla, I thought we were super tight. Like, what? I think Camilla initiating this whole strategy, she gets the Philly. And then the Willie.
If it can't be somebody voted out, it's probably going to be Sean.
I think Charity gets the Willie. I think she dug herself a hole on her new tribe. She didn't have to throw her own tribe mate under the bus. And you don't go against David, the winner of the season. So
I think you're right, though, with Camilla, to give her her real credit here. She's the one who did the work. Like Kyle did what he needed to do, too. But Camilla did most of the work here. I'm very impressed with Camilla. Like, very impressed. I think Camilla's playing a great game. Camilla could go home next week just because of the way the numbers fall. But they still have the extra votes. So, really, they have a 3-2 advantage on that tribe right now. Shaheen or Joe would probably go home at the next thing. Now, granted, there's going to be a journey. There could be an idol find. Who knows? We did see that more idols were hidden, too. And they were just – it looks like they were just regular idols because we saw the one in the tree when Say was walking around. So it looks like there's just going to be idols hidden around. I think that, I think Camilla was the star of this. Kyle was just a hell of a supporting cast and made it all happen. I mean, Shaheen and Joe are going back to tribal going, who the hell are these people? And what's most impressive about Kyle and Camilla, first time they actually are going to tribal council. Most people, when they go to tribal council the first time, they're a little in over their head. These two were playing this like seasoned veterans. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And I don't want to totally call out JP here. And I know it's an edited show. Did JP help him out? Did Jeff help him out a little bit with these? So Camilla, if it's you tonight, what was this experience about? And then Kyle, what about you? And maybe he asks everybody this, every tribal council, although I don't think he does. Jeff was playing this up as like, give me your swan song here. Give me your emotional arc for the audience. One of you is going home. And look, that's what the players were giving him. I'm not saying this is against the rules or like that he had an agenda. I just mean that as a host and moderator of Tribal Council, he was very much playing up the 3-2 of it all, which was true, in which the three were admitting to. And again, Kyle and Camilla putting on the show that they were against each other and that they were going to vote for each other. So it's not that the players weren't giving it to Jeff. But Jeff was throwing it back and asking questions in a way where if you are Thomas, Joe, or Shaheen, you're like, what the hell just happened? Like, even was Jeff on this too? Because he was asking these emotional questions.
He did ask Thomas too.
He did. He did. I noticed that. And that actually started making me think, I think it might be Thomas.
Can I just compliment Camilla?
It's almost though like Thomas like announced it though. Thomas kind of jumped in and said, if it were me tonight, well, it might be some night. It seemed like Jeff didn't prompt it as much as the other two.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's also, again, like you said, it's the edit. I mean, like Justin said in all of his post-game press last week, like how he was arguing for hours and hours. It's a great comment. This is James Barber. In quotes, what will you take home from this experience? Close quotes. Like, shut up. I can hear that.
Honestly, it's kind of how people get kind of just, you know, lulled into thinking they're safe because these people are pouring out their emotions on what the experience means as if it's about to be over. And that is an act. That is gameplay. That is Survivor. Convincing everyone that you are voting for your ally and that you might go home tonight when you know you have an idol and that you know you're totally with your ally and you're going to pull one over and keeping that together and answering Jeff's question, that's Survivor.
That's Survivor. All right, let's talk about these votes that we got. Challenge. So let me go to CBS Vote because I want to read what they wrote because
The most interesting thing here is Final Four Challenge.
Well, yeah. So this is it. Let's talk. So
are we getting that? Does that tell us we're getting a Final Three?
Time to put on your challenge producer hat. Which of these iconic challenges would you like to see the Final Four players take on? Now, first of all, not to like harp on minor things, but the call of the Season 47 and Season 46 final challenges, iconic already, seems a little silly. Samotion, I'd call iconic. I'm also so over Samotion. I don't want to see Samotion again. I've seen it a million times. So A was Ben, the one that Ben won in Season 46, where it was the ball. It was like the Plinko game while you're building the puzzle. B is, what is B? This is a big obstacle course.
I feel like B is just, we're going to do an obstacle course with a puzzle, and it's not going to be like
that's the one that Mary, what do you call it? Maria. Lost.
Didn't Rachel win this last season?
I think so, but isn't this the one where Liz like went back and helped?
Well, they do a bunch of, I mean, this could be anything. Yeah. It looks like we're, hey, obstacle course, puzzle, and it's not one of these like fixing one location focus games.
It's A, man. It's A, but this is, I was hoping we were going to get like a callback. Like this is great. Do you want to see the one from 46, from 47, or from 40, like 5? Like, I want to see Hand on the Idol. I want to see them stand in a stupid archer pose like we saw in Thailand. Like, I want to see a pure endurance challenge for Final Four. And yes, this does reveal it is a Final Three. I know I glossed over you saying that. That is literally confirming it's a Final Three, which I'm fine with. I am fine with that. I don't really care.
I think Final Threes, and I want a bigger cast. And if they're going to go up to 20, then you obviously need the Final Three.
Yeah,
and it's only 26 days, so I don't know. I'm like split here. Like,
you love the Ben challenge.
I know I do, but we just saw. I mean, Samotion to me is more celebrating of Survivor as a whole. I know we've seen it so much recently, but like, it is like a really simple anyone can win challenge, and not that the other one isn't, just a little bit more iconic. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other one.
When's the last time we've seen it? It seems like we did it a lot and they got away from it. The last time we've seen it is in 44. So that's not that crazy.
I mean, that's pretty far. I mean, here's how many though we've had, look, right?
I know, but it was Tokenchin in South Pacific. Then it wasn't until Cambodia. So like three times in the first 31 seasons isn't like too overkill. And then the overkill was Ghost Island, Davis Goliath, the winner at war 42-44. That's a lot.
And it's eight times, and they already used it as the winners at war final immunity challenge, which, like,
it's already part
of an iconic celebratory one. Why do it for 52?
Okay, that's the winning argument there.
Thank you.
That's it. That's what pushes me over to option A.
It's already been impactful, so... Let's talk about number two here. So this is advantages. More gameplay. Advantages are an exciting way to give players the power to influence the game. How much power do you want advantages to have in Survivor 50? Minimal power. I want advantages to be rare and limited in power, forcing the players to rely primarily on their strategic, social, and physical abilities. Strategic power. I want advantages that are just powerful enough to create some uncertainty and risk, adding a layer of complexity for the players to deal with. Dynamic power. I want to amplify the impact and fun of advantages so they offer enough power to shake up the game so that even players on the bottom have a fighting chance. What do they want you to pick out of those three, Will?
It's so weird because the adjectives, I get that this is a spectrum. We're doing like small, medium, large here.
Which one do they want you to pick, Will?
Dynamic.
Which is insane because that is by far the worst option. It's terrible.
Yes. And like, minimal, I get that is minimal. That should be on the lower side of this, whatever spectrum. Then strategic and dynamic don't even feel like they're Like, you could have switched those and I would have believed you. Like, switch the names and keep the descriptions.
I want to amplify the impact and fun. So they offer enough power to shake up. Even players on the bottom have a fighting chance. Like, do you want the game to be interesting and exciting? Or do you want the game to be stupid and boring? That's what we're being asked here. Don't
Phil.
Don't put dynamic.
Phil, not for nothing here.
Dynamic's terrible. If you vote dynamic, Will, you're kicked off the podcast. Or you have to do it more. Or you have to do it more. It's one or the other.
Not for nothing here. Tonight's tribal kind of like advantages, but that we don't have that idol.
But idols would be there even if they did minimal. I voted minimal, and here's my reason why I voted minimal. And I'm gonna give my little speech.
I mean, last week, though, like I know what we keep saying. It's a lot of advantages, a lot of journeys, but like,
don't put this in people's heads, Will. Don't do this.
I'm just saying these last 2 weeks have been really fun, in part because of the bullshit journeys and the abundance of advantages. I am going to vote minimal.
Okay.
But if someone wants to vote strategic, I will not fault them. Don't vote dynamic.
Do not vote. And that's exactly what I said. I already put something out on Instagram just so I can get my initial thoughts. Minimal is the right option because here's the deal with minimal. We're doing Every Season Matters over on the Patreon. We are up to Gabon now. Gabon would be considered minimal advantages at this point. And Gabon has plenty going on. And Gabon is pure chaos the entire time. Minimal advantages in Survivor doesn't mean seasons 1 through 6. Minimal advantages in Survivor means seasons 11 through 20. Maybe 11 through 30 at this point. Strategic advantages to me feels like they're probably going to go to what we had in the 30s. Extra votes will be there. Steal of votes will be there. Idols will be there. But we won't get to idol nullifiers and stuff. Dynamic means that we are literally just pure chaos, exactly what we're watching
hourglass,
right now.
Baby. Hourglass.
Yeah, like seriously. And I truly believe this has been two good tribal councils in a row. And yes, they both had to do with you know, advantages and things like that. Tonight's tribal council can still happen if you vote for strategic. Last week's tribal council can't happen if you do that. I don't need to see last week's tribal council ever again.
Well, we don't know. This is different than... I guess they go hand in hand, right? The amount of journeys and the amount of advantages go hand in hand because that's where the advantages are coming from. So if you vote for fewer advantages, then there are fewer journeys. So I mean, that might be a reason right there to vote minimal because then you have fewer journeys and then you're not wasting as much episode time.
My biggest concern is people split like you and I. We're not splitting, but I think people who have similar thoughts to us will split between minimal and strategic, and that will be what puts dynamic over the top. And dynamic will win with like 40% of the vote because the other two get 30-30.
So, yeah, it'll be a plurality win.
Yeah. Vote minimal. That's what I say. I say vote minimal because they are not going to go back to basics. They are not going to do nothing. But it gives us the best shot at seeing what an almost normal Survivor season could look like after we haven't seen an almost normal Survivor season since 39. But even that wasn't normal. But like I know that 39 is not popular. Yeah, 39 is not popular, but let's go back to 37. Like David versus Goliath, yes, that had an idol nullifier and stuff, but it wasn't such an overabundance that it ruined the game. I don't need to watch people roll dice to get advantages and nonsense. I don't need it. I don't want it. Let's stick to where we're at. I think minimal is the right vote. If you want to vote strategic, that's okay. If you vote dynamic, man, you're dead to me. I am just out. You cannot go dynamic with how the show is going right now. It will ruin the show. The show's already going down a path it shouldn't go. It said Game Show Network at 2 p.m. If you keep going these games that we had last week, let's not do that. Let's go back. That's what
I guess my only concern with this is like everyone could vote minimal and minimal could win. And then there could still be a bunch. And then like what metric are we measuring this at? These are all very subjective words, and then people can complain and say we voted minimal, Jeff, and then Jeff will be like, well, you should have seen what we had on the table for dynamic. Believed it. And whether that's true or not, I don't know, and I'm not saying this vote is rigged or they're not going to stick to their word. I just mean this one is objectively subjective and that there is no way to measure. It doesn't even give an example. Oh, like from China to Heroes versus Villains, for.
Because if they gave the examples, people would vote for a certain range. That's right. Why I'm
they're not giving us any.
Minimal is still going to be a lot. Minimal is still going to be more than what your dream vision of Survivor is. It's not going to go all the way back. So vote minimal because they're still going to have plenty of chaos. It's not just going to be idols only. There's no way. And if it is, let's see them all play with just having idols and no steal of votes, extra votes, all of that. Like, it's okay. I'm imploring you. All right, last one. To switch or not to switch, I want the tribes to switch. I want to force new alliances, test old ones, challenging players to prove they can survive in any scenario. I do not want the tribes to switch. I want alliance to grow naturally without disruption. Strong bonds should be built and rewarded, not broken. I voted yes. I want switches. We haven't had enough, in my opinion, in the new era.
I've just voted for switching. I voted for minimal, and I voted for the Plinko game.
Yeah, we did the same things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a switch is... Yeah. I wish I could say, when they switch, can we make it two tribes?
Yeah, I know. Well, and here's the other thing, though.
Well, we might start with two tribes. I could see a 10 versus 10, and then at 18, going to three tribes.
Which they did in second chance, right?
Yeah, they've done that in, they did that in Ghost Island also.
And I think a switch works great on returning player seasons because we get to see more of the players interact with each other. And they all know each other. So let's be chaotic. Let's have it happen. I know in Game Changers, it led to the downfall of the tribe that everybody was rooting for. But like, I think switches are good in returning player seasons because these are players who know what they're doing. They know each other. Let's not have somebody get voted out just because they didn't go on the right trip to, you know, they didn't go to the right event, which maybe they didn't go to the Ron Clark event, which is April 16th in Atlanta. Everybody should go to that. It's the greatest event there is. I just wanted to throw that out there so everybody knows. But maybe they didn't go to the right Ron Clark event, so they get voted out because the other four people on their tribe did. I don't like that. Let's mix it up. Let's let them play a little bit. And look, Thomas went home tonight. Feel bad for people who get swap screwed anymore. Survivor's been around long enough. Like, I don't feel like, oh, man, imagine if Thomas hadn't had to swap. Like, yeah, Thomas would have done well, but that's the game at this point. I like
yeah, there's being swap screwed where it's like, wow, that swap put you in a miserable position that you couldn't have gotten out of. He went home with a steal of vote that could have guaranteed save.
Yes.
So and
with well, how many advantages there are, let it go.
We gave Camilla and Kyle their praise. They were great. Not saying he should have sniffed it out or anything, but like, if you want to be extra sure that you survived the round, play your advantage.
Yeah. Yeah. Thomas made mistakes, right? Like, there's things Thomas could have done to save himself.
Yeah.
So Soldo 1234, thank you for the super chat. Top three season rewatch during grad spring break. It sounds like somebody's on spring break. Well, what are your top three for somebody who's on spring break? Who's
like give spring break vibes?
Well, they're rewatching too. That's also, I think rewatch is important here. So that makes me think they've seen them all. So what are you rewatching if it's spring break and you're on spring break? What are you watching?
I think you want some chaos. You want some chaos, commotion, maybe some. I'm going to go. I think Gabon is actually a great one. Spring break. It's kooky, it's crazy, it's all over the place, and we're doing that for Every Season Matters on Patreon, so you can come join us on Patreon while on spring break. What better way to spend your spring break? Millennials versus Gen X, another really good season. Youthful energy, that feels kind of like a lot of young people just going on vacation, so that's a good one. And then maybe David versus Goliath. Get Mike White drinking wine.
Yeah, I love that. Those are good answers.
White Lotus of it all. Maybe that. Dude,
the Gabon rewatch I'm going through right now. My wife doesn't know what happens. And like, so she's watching it with me and we just got to the final 10. The Gabon rewatch is just incredible. They all start off as like whatever, but and then they just become such bad people. It's so much fun. Holy crap. We haven't had a season like that in so long. Yeah, I would throw Gabon in there. If you're rewatching because you've literally seen like every season, I'd watch Heroes versus Villains. I haven't watched it in a long time. And I feel like that's always like a good, like the height of Survivor, lean back. You're just relaxing. You're watching the show. You're having a good time. You're not worried about it. And then honestly, because it deserves more love, I would watch Blood versus Water and I would watch Ko Rong. Those are the three that I would do. So Blood versus Water, Heroes, Villains, and Ko Rong. Those would be the three.
Ko Rong has some spring break vibes. I can feel that.
Gets like super hot out there and Caleb almost dies, but like it gets super hot out there, you know?
Yeah. There's spring break is pretty dangerous.
It is. I've seen it. We have anything else? Hour 15. Holy crap. Texas is still playing. Blake's probably still watching that. Hasn't watched Survivor yet. What do you got? You got anything else, Will?
No, I mean, this was fun. This was a fun episode. I think my favorite episode of the season.
This was better as a whole than last week. Last week was solid, but it was mainly the tribal. This whole episode was really, really good.
This was really, really fun. This was, again, I really liked 47 because we saw so many kind of new things that we just hadn't really seen come together on Survivor before. And a lot of it is the new era shenanigans. Mm-hmm. But like this tribe swap, haven't really seen one like it. So,
yeah. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Will and I put out our rock draw today. That was a fun one. Always love doing that. I'll have my after show out tomorrow. Blake and I will be doing over here on the channel, digging deeper. We'll be doing that at 5 p.m., which is really pushing it because Gonzaga and Georgia are supposed to start at 4:35. 5 o'clock, as long as that's in the first half. If that starts like drifting and, you know, I'm not missing the second half of that game. That's going to be one of the better games of the first round. So we'll see how that goes. That's supposed to be 5 o'clock. If you haven't checked out our Deal or No Deal Island episode, Blake and I did that this morning. So check that out. We dive into what the finale coming up and all the things that we saw. This weekend on Sunday, I will be joined by Lauren O'Connell for the first time in a while, the winner of our Brant Steel for Second Chances 2. So she will be coming back, jumping onto the podcast. Don't know exactly what time yet, but I'm super excited to have her on. I think it's literally been since season 41. So pumped to have her back. And make sure you follow us on social media so you can find out what time that's going to be. Let us know what you're voting for. Let us know what you're hoping for on this season. Give your reasons for why you want.
Let us know that you voted the right way that we told you how to vote.
Please vote minimal.
Bill, I feel like Bill is very adamant on voting a very certain way.
I hate politics so much, and I don't like to walk around and be like, you vote this way, you vote that way, blah, blah, blah. Right now, though, I feel like this is like the cause that I was born to support. Please vote minimal. Please vote minimal. I might need to like get Bryce and Wendell were doing their their political campaign thing as like their brand for last year during their events. I might need them to like help me out with like a please vote minimal sign for this week because I need it so bad. I don't even hate advantages and stuff. I just hate what the show has become certain times. I don't want it to go further. I don't want it to keep going that direction. So please vote minimal. Otherwise, like this video, subscribe to the channel. And
we have a super chat that came in very late.
Which Denise are we talking about? This is Jayburn Aquatic, better player, and who would win though? Denise versus Eliza.
I think Denise is winning regardless on whether like whatever Denise
is. Is he talking about China?
Even if it's China, I think Denise is warmer to a jury than Eliza.
Oscom just asked, why does Phil sound better than Will, even though he doesn't have a mic? What up? There it is.
Why do you sound better? Because I have a mic and I'm speaking right into it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just
maybe it's the acoustics of the room I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, I just have a great voice. All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode and we will see you all next time.
See ya.